abundant life. And before we do that, my very first question is, what is your biggest pet peeve about yourself?
Distraction!
The thing that makes you go, why am I like this? Jenna?
I can't name a single one. There are a lot.
Fair? Fair. I know for me, like, I have the inability to stop once I get into something. Like, I'm always like, go to bed! And I'm like, no, one more chapter! One more episode! That is my biggest, like, because then I'm like, in the morning, I'm like, I'm so tired. Why did I do this again? That's my biggest pet peeve about myself.
I would say time optimism.
Mm.
I think I can get more done in the time that I have than I can, and then I'm late to the next thing, and...
And then it keeps going,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then the rejection sensitivity issue kicks in when I get taken to task for being late for wherever I'm going. And
yeah.
I'd have to say overthinking.
Mm. Kelly?
I think that mine is probably not learning how to set boundaries earlier in life.
Yeah.
And trying to be everywhere at once.
Yeah. Feel that. So, if we're, I saw this from Luke, but just as a reminder, you talked about, if we're going to embody Christ, we need to be consistent, and that's not always easy. But I have a but here. But it is worth it. Here's the thing, it is worth it, because those little pet peeves, God is the only one who can change us, right? You can sit there and try to change yourself all you want. If you're anything like me, you will just be met with abysmal failure, and you'll just constantly be like, why am I like this? So, I have a sign above my bed. It has all of these things that are important to me about God. And it says, he is worthy. And then underneath it I wrote, and he is worth it. Because it's hard. It is hard. But today we're going to talk about why we do the hard things. All right, Luke had to tell you all it was hard. Now I get to tell you about why we do hard things. To quote my very favorite movie of all time, it's not my favorite of all time, but one of my favorites. The hard is what makes it great. Of course it's hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would be doing it.
What movie?
League of Their Own. Such a good movie.
Oh,
so good. Anyway, so God tells us to count the cost. He says, hey, before you go and build a tower, you need to know that you have the materials to build said tower. Yeah. And, but here's the other thing. Welcome. He also promises us rewards. And sometimes, if you're anything like me, you're like, oh, that's a dirty word. We should follow God because it's the right thing to do, not because he said, here, have a prize. Right? And sometimes I get like that with my students. I was like, you should just do what I asked you to do because I asked you to do it. And they're like, well, what's in it for me? Right? And I'm like, okay, fine, you can have a prize. And so it's important. I don't want you guys to look down on the fact that God promises us rewards, because we should look forward to heaven. We should look forward to the fact that God wants to shower us with blessings. So today, we did this verse a few weeks ago, but one of my all-time favorites, where it says, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. Such an important verse. And we, as Christians, so often don't live life to the full. Because either from cultural baggage, church baggage, trauma, whatever, we allow things to tell us we don't deserve life to the full. Or good Christians don't need that. Or I should just serve because, you know, Christians serve. And we don't sit and pause and go, yes, I deserve life to the full. That's what Jesus said. He came so that I could have life to the full. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm so lucky. All right, here we go. So we're going to talk about Galatians today, which is, the book of Galatians is very near and dear to my heart for a lot of reasons. Galatians 5:1 helped me through a really long time, a really difficult time in my life where I felt trapped in sin. And the verse is, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And Galatians is Paul's, basically his defense that there is nothing more important than the gospel. So during this time period, there were certain Jews who said, if you want to be a Christian, you first have to become Jewish and get circumcised, and then you can accept the gospel. And Paul was like, hold up, no, to quote Gandalf, you shall not pass. He said, no, and he says, you foolish Galatians, which is one of the biggest, I forget the word in Greek, but it's one of the biggest insults Paul could come up with. That foolish, right? Think of Vanna going,
absolute idiots.
Yeah, he's like, what is wrong with you? You were like, yes, we accepted the gospel of Christ, and we have been baptized, and life is good. Oh, wait, now we need to be circumcised. And he's like, you don't need the law. So this is the context of what we're doing. And in 5, he says, you need to be free. But we don't use our freedom, because you are free, right? Corinthians had the church in Corinth, right? A lot of these themes we see throughout the New Testament and throughout church history. The church in Corinth was kind of like what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth, right? They were very much like, everything is permissible. And Paul was like, yes, but not everything is beneficial. Right? Like, I always laugh when people say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, because I'm like, well, except for if you get married, like, on accident. Like, that kind of stays with you. Like, there are lots of things that actually can't just stay in Vegas.
Charges.
Yeah.
Diseases.
Bankruptcy.
Right?
So, like, there are lots of reasons why. And then, so they were all like, well, everything is permissible. We're free. And he's like, yeah, but did you think about the fact that everything's not beneficial? And that's sometimes where we get stuck, right? So we're going to read Galatians 5, 13 through 26 today. And we're going to take it like a couple verses at a time. Anna, will you read these?
Yep. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
Wow. When I was reading this and getting ready tonight, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. That hit so hard, because I feel like that's the Church of America today. We are just constantly yelling at each other. We're trying to bite and devour. No, you don't know the gospel. No, you're wrong, right? And here's a good example. My friend, who I love and is my best friend in the world, she lives in Oklahoma City, and she is definitely more conservative than me, and she goes to a Presbyterian Church of America. And if you don't know this, Presbyterian Church of America are what we call complementarian. They don't allow women pastors. Fundamentally, I am obviously not a complementarian as a female pastor. It'd be pretty much impossible. But she and I have had lots of discussions, from everything from infant baptism to gender equality to all of the things, right? And she has taught me through years of painstaking arguments that people don't have to agree to me with me to follow God. Like, I know that's revolutionary for a lot of us, and for me it was very revolutionary. I was like, you can have a different point of view about something that's really small in scripture and still love God? Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. And so anyway, she reached out recently and she said, hey, where my pastor is speaking about complementarianism, and I just asked for prayer. I know that it's a hot button topic. All I want is for people to understand that it's a legitimate biblical view. Like, a study of scripture, and this is how they understand it. And, like, part of me immediately wants to go, no! No, 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 I don't want to do that. But that would make me a hypocrite, because so much of what I try to do is say, look, we need to acknowledge that this is a legitimate interpretation of scripture, whether you agree or not. And yes, there are cultural things, and yes, there are things that I disagree with, but the reality is, when it is done as they actually say it should be done, complementarianism is not terrible. but it's very, very rarely done in a way that's not supporting the patriarchy. But I can take that and I can look at it and say, yes, I understand how you faithfully love God and interpret scripture to get here. And that is the difference about dividing and devouring one another, right? Like, don't bite and devour, because the whole our church, Lord have mercy, we're always like, we're so willing to excommunicate people over the smallest things. Like, there's a joke about, okay, so if you don't know, there are like hundreds, probably thousands of denominations in the U.S. When I was at seminary, they had this like denominational handbook. I stopped after 3 pages of A's because I was like, I can't handle any more of this. There are way too many denominations for me to think through. And there's the old joke about Baptists, they'll start a new denomination over the color of a carpet, right?
You answered my question.
Yeah.
I was like, why are there so many denominations?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Because they do. And we cannot agree on this. I think the wall should be green. Luke thinks the wall should be blue. Therefore, that's it. We're going team green and team blue. And we're never going to have anything to do with each other again. Which sounds so silly, but we do it all the time.
I prefer blue.
Okay, join Luke's team. I see how it is. Anyway.
Team blue.
I grew up Baptist, and I went through two, possibly three church splits in my lifetime.
Yeah.
People just went off and started a new church entirely because they had a disagreement over something.
Yeah. And it's really true. And, we will be destroyed by each other. Right? We started off as a new church, but it was more than just a disagreement about, colors. It was a disagreement about the qualifications of leadership and when someone was willing to... And so these things matter, though, because I realized I couldn't follow the person that my board decided to elect. And actually, several of us have left, right? It was a pretty big church. We're not all here, but it was a church exodus, right? And unfortunately, that happens a lot. And I really thought I'd stay because I was I believe in church unity and all of that, but the church became toxic in and of itself, and I couldn't stay. And over the years, many other people discovered they couldn't stay. Mm-hmm. So there is value in leaving, especially when there is someone who is ill-equipped for leadership and charge. I'll say that.
And I didn't share mine to say that they were frivolous.
Right.
I was too young to know whether they were frivolous or valid. Just that I went through at least two, possibly three.
I mean, churches split over slavery in the United States, which is not a frivolous one. Denominations split over, owning slaves is contrary to the gospel. And then, no, the Bible says slavery, slaves obey your masters. So there are legitimately church splits. I do want to say that. Yes, I was kind of joking about the, blue and green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there are definitely legitimate splits, right? And most denominations that split, I want to say all, but I know I'm going to get in trouble if I say that, but that were pro-slavery have obviously repented and are no longer pro-slavery.
Yeah.
But there are reasons people split that are fundamental. Paul and Barnabas split fundamentally. They are and they don't even tell us what the disagreement is. Oh, wait, no, yes, they do. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. They argue over whether or not someone can come back and join the full. Barnabas is hey, I want to bring John Mark along. And Paul's no, he abandoned us before. We're not doing this. I can't. Nobody, once you've abandoned me, we're done. Paul was the epitome of, fool me once, shame on me. Or you, fool me twice, shame on you. And Barnabas was a lot more of the, I believe you can do better. And John Mark is who
leads. Mr. Rogers.
Yes, and we believe, most people believe John Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So Barnabas ended up being right. But all that being said, there are legitimate reasons to split, right? And there are real reasons. But the difference is whether Paul didn't say, Barnabas, you're no longer a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, Barnabas, you're not following God. They just decided, we can't continue our ministry together. And so God went with Barnabas and God went with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what happened at my previous church. I believe very firmly that they are Christian. I believe that they are doing the best that they can. Well, it's we're doing the best that I can or we can. And sometimes I don't think I do the best I can. So there's all of that. But God goes with both. You are allowed to have disagreements that you're I can't continue in this. But it's the biting and devouring each other if you watch social media or have seen things. And it's usually people who are how dare you? You can't be a Christian, because you're transgender. Or you can't be a Christian because you're exclusive. You don't understand the heart of God. We do that a lot, right? With both sides do. Because the people who are conservative are very focused on protecting, right? What they see as truth, right? If we water it down, we'll lose sight of the gospel. And people who are more liberal tend to be much more on the progressive side of, well, yes, but if, you know, the yes, but. And there is danger, and we are called to live in tension. And there are dangers of going too far on both sides. Mm-hmm. Because one side ends up like the church in Corinth, everything is permissible. And one side ends up like the Sadducees and Pharisees of, we have to be so protective of the truth, we can't allow anyone in who might pervert it. And we have to walk in the middle between those. Which brings me to, we were given freedom to serve one another humbly in love, right? Not to divide and devour. And this is hard, right? So my question for you is, how can you serve Christians you disagree with humbly in love? And this was really hard recently. Well, I thought about it. So everyone knows that after Charlie Kirk's death, the internet was aflame. With a lot of terrible things, vile things on both sides. I couldn't get over just some of the absolutely toxic things I read. I had never heard of Charlie Kirk before he was shot. Ever. I was like, I don't know who that is. I was sad that he was shot because I don't feel like we should live in a world where you are assassinated for your views. And I thought that was terrible because that's just a fundamental belief of mine. You do not deserve to be shot for your views. But then I learned a little bit about him, and the little I've learned, I've never watched him, so I'm real hesitant to get into all of this, right? I've never sat down and watched a debate about Charlie Kirk. Little I've seen from what people have quoted, I don't think we would have gotten along.
Statement of the year.
But I also recognize that I have no idea what the context is or some of these quotes. I'm willing to withhold judgment until I decide to watch him actually debate. Mm. However, I know there are some people, like, this is very political nature, so I'm trying to be very careful here. There are some people on one side who were very grieved by his death and who will make a lot of arguments about context and whatnot and different things, and it strikes me, two things really strikes me. One side was celebrating a death, and I'm talking about political sides. I'm not going to talk about anyone, I don't know who was Christian, who wasn't in all of this, but political sides. One was celebrating a death, and the other was, we're going to mourn and then we're going to declare war. Mm-hmm. Neither side was focused on serving Christians they disagreed with them. Like, they're Christians. And I know for me, I have people in my family who are very grieved by his death. And so I didn't even, like, I was really struck by the scripture, mourn with those who mourn. And I was like, so I was able just to listen why they were hurting, right? And then I prayed with them. And, you know, I entered into that grief with them because that's what God called me to do. Mm-hmm. Not sit there and yell at them or be like, how could you grieve this guy? He was a monster, which I'm not saying he was, but that's just what I saw online. And then there are other people who I've seen online post about, like, I'm grieving, and then I'm going war on the left. I'm war, because they're terrible people, and they're celebrating his death, right? And that's not a Christian response either. The Christian response calls you, like, people are like, I'll forgive them, but then it's war. And I remember reading that, and I was like, that's not how forgiveness works. It was a very striking thing to read some Christians post. Like, my faith calls me to pray for you and all of this, but then I'm declaring war. And I was like, okay. That being said, right? So, like, on one side, we have to be willing to mourn with those who mourn. On the other side, right, we are called to forgiveness and to moving forward in love. And so I just want you to take a minute. How can you personally serve Christians you disagree with humbly in love? And not like random people on the internet that you don't talk to. Like people in your life.
I wrote down everything you've said.
Okay. I hope it's helpful to you.
Yeah. I have a question, but I'll ask later.
You can ask it now.
Okay. I saw people saying that he was a martyr for the Christian faith. I don't think that's what
it was. As far as I'm aware, he was not killed because of his Christian views. So to be a martyr for the Christian faith requires you to be killed because you're sharing the gospel. So
and he's likely a martyr for his own
political views.
Political views, but not...
Not the gospel. He was probably a martyr for his political views. Because that's
my... I want to say that he's a martyr once you say that he's a Christian. But
the
martyrdom was not a Christian martyr.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Anyone want to share anything before we move on?
On that statement, I just think that it's really sad that we cannot agree to disagree that murder is bad. And he was somebody's son, father, friend, and, you know,
husband.
I think that that's kind of like the oversight everybody's
mm-hmm.
not seeing is that even Trump is somebody's dad. I don't want him to just off and die. I don't agree with the things that he does, but you know, essentially down at the core, I think that a lot of people just oversight basic human decency.
Yeah, we have turned people into the ideas that they represent, and I think there are ideas that we should be at war with. But too often when we say war, we mean people. Like, I think of all the time, I think of, like, really my issue is with the satanic perversion of the gospel. And yet it's so much easier to say, I dislike this person who is the front person for this. And I am trying to be much better about not saying that and continuing to pray for their salvation and to fight against the ideas that are being spread. And I think but I do think when you have a religious leader who is spouting lies, that is the time, you know, John the Baptist called them a brood of vipers. Jesus had some nasty things to say that I can't think of right now to quote. Whitewashed tombs, I believe, he also called them. That's, you know, a good one. There is a time, and we're not really talking about this time, because I think we are too quick to insult people than we are to love them. Right? So right now we're talking about serving people in love. Just the basic decency of it's more than basic decency. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to serve you humbly, which means I can take a back seat to the fact that I think I'm right, which is really hard in today's world because everybody wants to tell you to say I'm right. Yes, Luke.
I think an important part of that is you don't say that out loud. You say that in your heart. If you say it out loud, it's condescending and
say what out
loud. I'm gonna love you and all that kind
even
of stuff.
Even though
is
you're
great.
Wrong and I'm right,
yeah.
I'm going to love
you. Yeah, that is very, you know, if you say that in your heart, awesome. If you say that out loud, you're just being a jerk.
I think it reminds me of, I can't remember.
And Pastor McGrath.
We were at the Hodges and someone told us that a lot of the times people would say, I'm going to pray for you, but it's more like a weaponized thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Weaponized Christianity.
Like,
yes.
That's the way that they end their debate rather than continuing to argue. It's just like,
you need Jesus. I'm going to pray for you.
I'm going to pray for you.
Yes. Like, bless her heart.
Yeah. Basically.
Yes. So, this is really important in its heart. And I keep thinking, I was thinking a lot about this. Like, what I'm asking you to do is hard. Like, I got to sit down with my nephews and talk about what it meant to follow Christ with them while I was gone. And I was talking to my nephew Bishop, and I said, you know, God, it's more than just, you know, feeling love for God. You have to love other people. God calls us to love everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, I can love everyone, but there's this kid in my class who pushes everyone, and I do not like him. And I was like, I understand that, but God still calls us to love, even though it's hard. And he goes, it's absolutely super duper hard. And I was like, I get it, buddy. Like, this requires us to put down our swords. And I mean, metaphorically. Like, I mean, I know some of you actually do sword fighting. But, like, you can keep your literal swords. No, I'm kidding.
I don't have a sword.
But metaphorically, to put down your swords. And to say, like, I care more about you in this moment than the argument. And that is really hard to do. All right. Well, that was a lot longer than I thought I'd be on those two verses. So we're going to move things along. Jenna, read these
So
things.
I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Excuse me. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Good. All right. So this is, you know, Paul gets, this, when he's talking about under the law, he's talking about the Jewish law, the Torah, just as a clarifying thing. And so, right, I know for me, I see this all the time when my flesh and my spirit are at war, right? Like, especially when I'm tired, right? My flesh is like, hi, I should win because you're exhausted and you're not going to sleep because that would be the wise choice. So let me, my turn, right? Like, they're constantly battling. But when we walk by the Spirit, that's how we stop gratifying the desires of the flesh, which is what we've been talking about all month, right? Those acts, those, you know, sitting in silence, being with God, reading Scripture, those are the ways that you walk by the Spirit. And those are the only ways that you don't gratify the flesh, right? Because our flesh is weak. It's very weak, and it wants what it wants. Your flesh is the instant gratification child going, feed me now, I'll die if you don't give me that cookie, right? I will die if you don't give me that cookie. And your spirit's like, no, you won't. Calm down. Like, we're okay, right? And so they're at war with one another. This is what we're at war with, not one another, just the spirit and the flesh. And so where does your flesh most harshly contest with your spirit? And I'm not going to make you share if you don't want to, because this can get personal, right? But where are those moments that you know, oh, my flesh definitely gets a head up here, right? I did not hear you, but okay.
Example.
Oh, an example. So.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I know when I don't have a problem working. I'm really good at getting stuff done, and I like working. But if I've had a full day, like, and I've worked, you know, 7 o'clock, and then it's 9 p.m., and I finally finish all the things on my to-do list, and I know that I should be getting ready for bed, because that would be the thing. But gosh darn it, I want me time. Like, I want to have my cake and eat it too, because I've never understood the point of having cake that you don't eat. Why would I want cake if I'm not going to eat it, right? Like, I don't get that fundamentally. And so often my spirit's like, hey, you will feel better. I know you had a rough day today, and you will feel so much better tomorrow if you just get ready for bed. And my flesh goes, but I want to do this. And this, and we've had no time to do the things that I really like. And look at this, we can stay up till 3 a.m. and no one will know, right? And then my spirit's like, everyone will know because you will be a grouch tomorrow. But that's my battle. Like, the more on my TV, and this is where I have to be careful, because I am very good. I can work all day, it doesn't bother me. It really doesn't, especially if it's something I enjoy. It's when I stop working and I'm like, oh yeah, I want me time, and it's like, sleep isn't me time. So that's where my, because that's why I have to have boundaries. It's not so much that I stress myself out. It's that if I don't have a boundary, if I don't give my flesh that boundary and, like, allow myself to have me time and, like, things, then everything else starts falling in my life. And so the boundary isn't, oh, I could take on another thing, but then I know I'm not going to sleep. That's where my flesh and my spirit really are at war with each other, with boundaries. Like, because my flesh wants to do it all. I have FOMO. And sometimes it's even FOMO for work. What can I say? And then I'm like, if I don't watch this now, it won't exist tomorrow, because that's a thing that's real.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So like, that's where I feel most in conflict. Like, I have to consciously create boundaries, because otherwise I will not sleep. And once I don't sleep, I get grouchy and irritated. I stop spending time with God. Then I get hungry. Then everything starts falling apart. Then my anxiety hits. And it's all like this tumbling thing. And it's like, where did it go wrong? It went wrong when I worked until 9 p.m. I can tell you exactly, that is the moment, right? Because I didn't turn myself off and I didn't say, hey, you need a break. That is where my flesh and my spirit really start to war.
feel you.
Can I share?
Yeah, go ahead.
When I'm around trifling people or stressed.
Yeah. That's a lot of us, when we are stressed, man, some of the worst behaviors come out of us.
And I'm tired, my demons stress me out.
What?
My demons.
Oh, your children.
I thought you meant your personal demons, but
no.
You meant children.
Personal demons can stress you out
no,
as well.
I'm trying to think, there's an acronym for like, tired, hungry.
Tired, angry?
Yeah, well just all these things that just make it harder to resist temptations of the flesh and all those things.
Yes, and we're going to talk about next, what does the flesh lead to? When we, because like, right, it's really easy, because like, really, what's the harm in letting my flesh make a few decisions, right? Like, surely this won't go poorly for me in the long run.
Like, it has every other time.
Yeah, like, I can handle it this time. This time I've got it. Kelly, will you read 19 through whatever this is?
Dealing with a migraine 21. Because I haven't slept in
a few days. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition,
dissensions,
factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like.
I warn you,
as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. There was a word for orgies back in...
Oh, yeah. No. Today. Yes. It wasn't just a word for it. There were
a lot of orgies back in the day.
Publicly enjoyed.
Yes.
Oh.
It was a religious, literal religious experience for some folks.
Yeah.
I think it was part of the
religion.
Yeah.
For anyway.
That sounds like a
so
cult.
Some of these, right? Like, I always laugh because there's some people, there's always, I shouldn't say I laugh, but, because mostly I laugh in like a sort of anger way, but when people say like things like, oh, you know, yeah, I'll go to hell because that's where the party's at, right? And it's because, you know, like, oh, I like sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, and all this stuff. But it's like, no, you're putting off all the other things that are involved with that, like hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, right?
Oh.
Those are the things that they all tie together, right? And sometimes you get more of one than the other, because we all are uniquely created in the image of God. But, like, think about it. When's the last time, you know... that in a job interview or whatever, or, you know, a senior pastor or something, like, they ask someone if they ever got jealous or fits of rage or selfish ambition. Like, I mean, I feel like as someone who's been a pastor and been interviewed, I've been asked about my sexual morality quite a bit. Like, because, you know, I'm single. So, like, that's always a question when you do a pastoral job interview, right? Like, it also comes up, even if you're married, I will say, because pornography is such a huge issue, right? So it comes up. But people don't ask me, do you have selfish ambition? Like, you know, are you prone to fits of rage? I've never been asked that in an interview. Now, they usually do the whole, like, is there anything we need to know? Or something like that. But these are not the ones we think of, right? Are you prone to discord, right? Are you gossiping so that, like, someone will think better of you and worse than someone else? That's discord.
Oh, I didn't know. I was
going to
ask, what context?
Yeah, like, right? Like,
I'm like, yeah, I'm like this girl all the time.
I'm
sorry.
Everyone does. But these are really, like, this is what you get when you feed the flesh. And I know for me, I see this all the time in myself, right? And, like, I know when I feed my flesh, because I am human, and because I am a sexual being, sexual immorality becomes really hard, like, much more tempting to me than it ever is elsewhere. And that is not the case for everyone. And I recognize that. But I also want to put out there that, like, it's that we should acknowledge that these things are real, right? When you feed the flesh, whatever your thing is, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness, that comes out. And it looks like one thing for me, and it'll look like something else for you.
Yes. This is a nitpick, but what's the difference between jealousy and envy?
Oh, there's actually a word, and I don't know off the top of my head. I'll put it in my little thing to look up the Greek for you and get back to you.
Wouldn't envy be like you want what they have? But jealousy is like, well, I'm just jealous that they're alive, or I'm jealous that they do this.
You're mad at them
this.
Versus wanting what they have.
Yeah.
Mm, that very much.
covenant.
Yeah, maybe. True confessions. There is a girl who exists who I just hate her guts. I don't hate her, but for some reason, just the fact that she has the life she has pisses me off.
I think that's jealousy.
Yeah, I don't want her life. I don't want her life. Yeah. I just, for some reason, the I don't know why, she's a wonderful person.
And that is the flesh, ladies and gentlemen.
But my knee-jerk reaction to anything I hear about her is, ugh. And I'm like, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too, about some people.
So, like... But here, like, these are the reasons we don't feed the flesh. Because whatever you're prone to, like, is what is going to happen when you feed the flesh. When you start walking towards giving the flesh what the flesh wants. Right? You know, like, because the flesh is never satisfied. Yeah, the flesh is never satisfied.
Yeah.
Like, it is, like, gluttony is another one of those sins we never talk about. Gosh, that is where I struggle. I find it very interesting. And the Enneagram, which I'm not going to get too much, but they also talk about your core vice as well. My core vice as an 8, according to the Enneagram, is lust. And people are like, really? And like, it's not just lust as in sexual lust. It's the lust for life of I can have it all, and I can do it all, and I can have all of the things, and like, I never have to stop. Right? Which then leads into other problems.
I thought that would have been greed.
Greed is I want more of that. I want more because I want to be safe.
I want more.
Greed is much more of the I want to have things. Lust is the I want to experience things.
Oh,
and
no.
Gluttony is not just food. It's just intemperance in general.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
and,
never enough.
And
that's
not having moderation. On
that is exactly why I suffer with gluttony sometimes.
Yeah.
But like it can be food or it can be like, I need to read this book. Like, I'm going to finish, and I need the next 6 in the series. Like, that is where my gluttony shows up at times.
I do.
And, like, so I mean, it's all different things. Like, I am no longer, like, anger, fits of rage. Like, I used to have a lot of fits of rage, but it's not anymore. Anger, and according to the Enneagram, is the core vice of the ones, right? They have a lot of pent-up anger because the world isn't behaving like it should. There is a right way for the world to be.
I wore my Hulk colors today.
Yeah. There is a right way for the world to be, and they're just messing it up. Like, what is wrong with all of you? Right? And so, like, that's where they're going to fall, right? Where their flesh gets fed. I noticed with my brother, my oldest brother, he's definitely a 1. He doesn't know about the Enneagram, but believe me, he's a 1. You've never met someone who is so attached to rules and laws as you have my brother. And when I grew up, he used to be so prone to fits of like, and just like, I hated driving with him because you drive with him, like, man, some of the, like, you know, over little traffic violations. But man, he knew the law and he knew what's happening. Just everyone was an idiot and a moron. We sat together on the plane and we disagreed some and all of that, but he was so calm and so, like, just, and I was like, I could see the fruit of God in his life. Now, do we fundamentally disagree on lots of stuff? Yeah. But, like, it was really cool to see him mature. And to hold on to, this is what I believe is right, but I don't need to be mad at the world. That was really cool. So, like, we can walk in the spirit, no matter what. Even though I want to have it all, I can recognize, right, you know what? I don't need it all. God is enough. God is all I need. Because I can only speak about me. I can't tell you, Anna, obviously, you're suffering with drunkenness. I need you to get work out. Like, I don't know what Anna's struggling with. You know what act of the flesh is. And here's the question, right? Do you want more of this? Is this what you want in your life? Because that's what you feed, you know, when we decide to walk by the flesh. On the contrary, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Luke, will you read the fruit of the Spirit?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Yeah, I mean, and I love this because when you have these two lists, right, one is full of idolatry, fits of rage, jealousy, and the other one has things like joy and goodness and faithfulness, it's Like, what do you want more of? Cost-benefit analysis. If I feed my flesh, which will give me instant gratification and the cookie, like, I'm going to get more of this. Is this what I want?
No.
Or I can be like, you know what? I really don't need that cookie right now. Maybe later I'll have the cookie. Cookies are not bad. They're just my example for right now. Please don't take that on cookies.
Example examples.
I got a
good example
because
yes.
of the cookie.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Or do I want, or can I say no to that cookie right now so
no.
that I can move forward in the life that God has promised me? Because this is the life God wants you to have. Not full of anger or anxiety or all of those things, but love, joy, peace. And so that's why this is the verse that, like, really when I struggled with a lot of sin, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, right? Like, I would keep, you know, walk by the Spirit, because for me, I knew that I was never going to crucify my flesh on my own, right? It was never going to happen. And I still have to, it's not like, you know, it's like, there are these things, sin is this infectious disease that, like, if I choose to stop walking by the Spirit, it will roar its head, right? Like, it'll come back because it's not a one-and-done thing. Sometimes the Holy Spirit miraculously, like, there's stories of addicts or whatnot that God's like, zap, you're healed, right? And that is amazing. But 90% of the time, God doesn't do that because he wants us to choose him day after day. So looking at the list, the acts of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, which do you want more of? So, all right, and easy question. But here's my next
mm-hmm.
question. Are you willing to walk by the Spirit so that you have more... Did I skip a slide? No. Okay. So that you have more joy, more peace, more love, more forbearance, more self-control.
Oh, I don't have that.
More gentleness, more goodness, more faithfulness, and more kindness.
Yes.
Good.
I'm willing. I just know it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
I'm willing, but I need help.
Yeah.
There
well, there's the next. If you say yes, what do you have to change?
Everything.
Not as
much
as it
feels
like.
Well, it might be feeling. Start with something small, because if you say, I'm going to change everything, you will fail.
Yeah.
It is, like, one thing, like, for me, like, my thing is, I'm going to stop working by 7 p.m. Whatever, you know, whatever is not done is not done. That is my, and I literally just decided this. Like, I just, but that is for me, because I know if I don't do that, my flesh gets too strong. And I literally just decided this as I was talking to you. I didn't know what I was going to change. I was like, I know I need to change something. But that's my, like, what is the one thing that you can change today? Not like the 18 things where you're like, I am a mess. Jenna.
I'm going to try not to be a snarky. So instead of saying, you know, 15, 20 snarky things per day, I'll decrease the 10.
Okay. That's a start. Yeah, it is good. You can start counting.
Weaning yourself off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would, and you can keep track of it with a quarter jar or something. Then you can make money off of it.
I want to do that. Like, for
it's
every,
like a quarter jar.
Figure out an
increment of time, and if you can go the whole amount of time without saying something snarky,
then I can eat.
You can put something in the jar, and then eventually you'll have like enough to go get.
Oh
ice.
Yeah, a
that's
reward.
The positive.
That's
way.
The positive. Because if you end
but
up
then but then if
it,
you
the
if
way.
You screw up, then you have to take one out.
And
oh.
then also, I want to work on not
like the donate jar.
I also want to work on not gossiping. So instead of gossiping 5 times a day, I'm going to do it only 3 times a day.
I like that. I actually changed my answer. Well, not completely. But because I realize sometimes my schedule doesn't allow me to stop at 7, I'm going to make sure that I have at least an hour or more of rest each day to do whatever the heck I want.
That makes sense.
That's better. That'll
yeah.
fit my day better.
That makes so much sense.
Because sometimes I can get an hour at 4. Whereas I can't at 8. So, yeah.
My thing is trying to get to bed by midnight.
That's late.
That's early for me right now.
Mm.
And that's an hour and a half earlier than I've... to 2 hours earlier than I've been doing. And I need sleep.
You do need sleep.
But I've had time optimism on how long it takes me to wind down to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, to go to bed at midnight, need to start...
turning my thoughts that way at 10:30.
Me too. That's what I hate. I just want to relate to that because it's like if I want to be in bed by 10, I really have to start winding down way earlier than I want to. Mm-hmm. But I realize I have to. So mm-hmm. I affirm you and see you.
Yeah.
Luke?
Sleep is definitely a thing, but I think something I've been realizing is I need to basically create better boundaries for some extra time of silence and alone time.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make our belly partner for a bed, but
that's another thing I started. I'm not doing it every day, but mentioned it Friday night that I'm going out to my car at lunch break so that I can be by myself. I can have time to do quiet time in the daily office for the study. I did that, and instead of just drifting for an hour of lunch break, I ate my lunch, took a nap, and did daily office.
Nice.
In that hour.
You get an hour for lunch?
I get an hour for lunch.
Most jobs
and
do it, just like
break.
Teachers that know.
And a 15-minute break.
Oh, that's nice.
And if I came to work at 8:30 instead of 8:45, I'd get 2 15-minute breaks. But I decided to use one of them to be able to sleep in a little bit longer in the morning.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm cold.
It's okay. We're about to end, so we'll... But anyone else have anything they want to share or commit to?
Mm-hmm.
Or
I think on that one.
And if you need an accountability partner, and if you need an accountability partner, you're not dating, because sometimes it's harder. Sometimes it's helpful, but sometimes it's harder because you're you're willing to give each other a lot more grace. You're it's fine.
You will.
It depends. I don't know. I'm just saying
sometimes,
for you.
Also, sometimes you're harder on that.
Yeah, sometimes you're harder. So I don't know. But I'm just saying you can grab an accountability partner today.
I do text him sometimes if I haven't heard a good night text from him yet. It's just bed.
All right, we're going to take prayer requests.
I just realized how late it is.
And I will turn the air.